Blog Talk Radio.
Say that across the board.
You think for me,
I won't say across the board.
And I think we need to get back to space.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, and welcome to another exhilarating, tantalizing, and thought-provoking hour and a half of Amongst Friends, the show you know and love. The conversation is definitely for the grown and sexy. As you know, I'm the self-proclaimed love doctor, Joe Snyder, and tonight I have the distinct honor of hosting with my amazing friends, Patrice Reynolds.
Good evening.
Deidre Robertson.
Hello, y'all.
And later on, we will be joined by PJ Morgan and Heather Owens. Tonight's topic is delayed but not denied. And don't worry, we are not about to preach a sermon, but we want to take a look at the things we have had to wait for, the things that we feel are far from our reach, to explore how sometimes it's often against us, and how time is often against us and makes us feel we won't get what we want. So please tune in at 760-683-2662 and press 1 if you have a question or a comment. Join our chat room or listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends or come to our chat room on Facebook at the Amongst Friends group. All right, so again, our topic is delayed but not denied. And you know, when I first got this topic, guys, like, I really thought that somebody wanted a preach sermon or something, because I was like, this sounds like straight out of church. But once Heather kind of explained last week's show what we're going to be talking about, like, I was able to put a real face to this topic and, you know, kind of talk about how hard it is to kind of wait sometimes, or how we feel that waiting is often like a denial, like a no. Like, because I had to wait this long, I'm not supposed to have my own business, or because I had to wait so long, I'm not supposed to be in a relationship or whatever. So tonight I definitely want us to kind of explore some of this. But as we start off, I guess, what are some things that you guys feel you may have been denied because you had to wait? Just kind of talk about some things. Anybody can start.
Denied because you've had to wait?
Yeah, sometimes we don't look at it just waiting, or it's not our time per se, but, and so we just think because it hasn't happened that it'll never happen. So what are some things that you have felt, you have wrongly felt in a sense that you've been denied because you've had to wait?
I would say a couple of careers that I've been embarking on for years, the recording career as well as the theater. So with those kind of things, I figured that it's taking such a long time to get there, something must be wrong. And, of course, that's our initial thought, is something that we're not doing or something is wrong. And I've just concluded that it's something that I'm not doing. So, yeah, those two things I felt that way about, because I've somewhat been waiting and it hasn't happened, it feels like it's not going to ever get there. But it only takes maturity to know that it's completely up to you. I don't want to say too much on your subject.
No, that's fine. Like, that'll be helpful to someone who may have not reached that point where they can feel like, you know what, maybe it's not something that I did wrong, but maybe it is. It's just going to take time for it to come to pass. or, you know, what kind of thoughts. So, no, that's good. Share, definitely share your thoughts on, you know, what, how you feel about changing your belief that you've been denied because you've had to wait.
Yeah, I just honestly now know that it's something that you haven't tapped into. And it's not something that's so far from you. It's the decision in your mind that this is what I want, and this is, changing your mind frame from asking for it to now having it, even though you don't see it, and even though you feel like you're waiting, you know, for all eternity. But when you start changing your speech, your mind kind of high-fives with it. So instead of me saying, oh, my God, this is never going to happen to me. Oh, my God, this, nobody's ever going to see one of my plays and, you know, want to push it or sponsor it or whatever. But changing that to I have arrived to a point in this kind of career where I have all the knowledge and the wisdom to get to my next level. And the more that I confess that to myself, I'll start to believe it. And once belief shows up, then, you know, it crashes the show. The show is now began, and you get results. You start getting showing up, you know, to you. You start, drawing that energy to you. But it's just something that you have not tapped into. It's not that you don't deserve it. It's not that you are not good enough at it. If you're good enough at it, you know it. So it's none of that. It has nothing to do with your, you know, I'm not a good enough person or I don't deserve it or whatever. Nothing to do with that. Nothing at all. But it's what you decide to do. Because if that was the case, then a whole bunch of people out here that we think need to sit down and just, you know, feed the world nonsense have all that they have. So what's the excuse? That's how I feel about that.
Excellent. Deidre, what are some things that you feel you've been denied because you've had to wait?
Well, when you were talking about the things that, you know, I feel like it's never going to happen,
yeah.
I have to say that my mind has changed because everything that I want to do, I could easily say that, you know, I want a kid and I've been denied that, or that I want a husband, and I've been denied that. And, you know, certain levels of my career, I've been denied that. But not I don't think that I've been denied because I know eventually it's going to happen. My issue is more not necessarily what did I do, what was wrong. I mean, as far as relationships and kids and stuff like that, of course, I kind of went back and forth about, oh, what do I do? You know, I've been good here and this. Why is it not happening? My issue is I'm not patient. I know it's going to happen. It's just I want it to happen yesterday. So that's my thing. And so I guess I'm kind of transitioning into what Patrice was saying of, you know, instead of asking for it, now it's mine. So now I'm walking with the belief that, okay, it's going to happen. So I'm going to stop tripping about when it's going to happen, who it's going to be, when it's going to be done, what I need to do to get there, and all this kind of stuff. I just walk as if it's already done.
And even if it feels like you've transitioned to that point of where you guys, and Trish, you can feel free to speak as well, you feel like you have changed your mindset, okay, maybe I'm not denied, but I have to wait, or it's delayed, or I need to change my mindset. And when you get into that mindset, but it still feels like it's not happening, like, what is your thoughts then?
Well, see, but that's the thing. I don't even take myself there because then I get frustrated because I'm very goal oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's okay. So I want XYZ. Okay, this is what I need to do to accomplish this, and then I go about making moves, sort of like what Patrice said. You know, you start doing stuff to make it happen.
And the reason
so that's
why she moved. The reason why she moves to do stuff is because she is literally not waiting for, and you know how people say, I'm waiting for the manifestation, whatever. I ain't even wait. It's not even about that. You are literally walking in it. As soon as you request it and receive it, then you are now walking. So that's why she moves to now doing, because she's literally agreeing that I have it and I am walking in it right now, you know. And you cannot, when you change your mind, you've changed your mind. It's not going, or it shouldn't go back to, well, I still don't see it, you know. You cannot, because that's doubt. And doubt is actually a huge obstacle that kills people. Doubt is that right. silent killer, if you want to really, you know, talk about it, because it denies you of so much, so much.
I agree.
So
with
how,
that.
How do you know? How do you know what has been delayed and what has truly been denied, though?
I don't think we need
because you don't want. Hey, Joey.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that I've been denied anything.
Okay.
No, Joey was just.
But
asking.
I think we don't need to. Well, no, I thought what he asked was, how did you cope, or did you? What things did you feel like were? You felt like they were being denied, but they were only on delay.
Right.
Yeah, that was his question, yeah.
Right, and I'm asking the question, but how would a person determine what has truly been denied for them and whether or not it's delayed?
Something that they obviously have been hungering for to happen, be it a career, be it a move, anything that they feel like it is not happening soon enough. What in the world is going on? I've done this, and this, and it's not showing up. Obviously, it has to be something that you desire. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm saying to the person, a lot of people are walking around saying every delay is not a denial, every delay, but some things are denied.
Mm.
By whom?
Okay, well, you go out there and try to buy a Maserati and see what happens. I'm just saying, you can't be walking around believing God for this or believing that you're going to get this. I mean, it's just like the person who goes out and wants to get a job, but they don't have the proper education or the skill set or anything to do that. I mean, I couldn't send Avery out there and say, oh, he wants to be a lawyer. William and Conley, hire him.
Okay, again, if you don't get the Maserati, it's because of you. I don't know how many times. Oh, now, if you're talking about, hey, go out there right now with your bad end credit in your zero bank account, that's actually not walking in what you want. Action shows that you have or that you are acting as if you can't.
No, but what my point is, the things that we are capable of having and getting, that's
mm-hmm.
one thing. Of what you're willing to work for, what you're willing to earn, but there are some things that are naturally denied to us.
Okay. Like what? Give me
such as Patrice can't have your husband. Wouldn't you deny her your husband, or would you just pass him over?
You know what?
They ain't got man, so yeah.
But
yeah.
My point is, we can't just assume that there's nothing that's ever going to be denied.
Well,
no is great, and no is necessary.
Denial is a part of life, but it's still a choice that you receive that denial or not.
Right, because no. I was just going to say it, but I mean, there's a point to what Patrice is saying, because if Patrice is actually desiring my husband, if she puts in enough work, she might not be denied. It's not going to be something
really?
That I can prevent
exactly.
her.
Really, because it's really not Deidre's decision to give me her husband. It's his decision.
Right.
To come ye hither.
No. What I'm saying, though, that there are some things that should be denied and that
right.
are denied. And we ought to deny ourselves of some things.
You know what should be denied? That's my question.
Huh?
How do you
know
what
should be denied?
Yeah. if you're desiring something, if you have a desire for something or things, and you find out that it keeps being denied, do you now come to the conclusion of, oh, I don't deserve this, or this is not for my life? So there, and
no.
While you're desiring it, do you believe that that could be the end, whether it good or bad? We're not talking about all good. We're talking about good and bad.
Right.
What you
there's
you
some things that I've denied of myself that's the end. It's a deny. The end.
And so you just stop there and you just move on.
Yes.
With the thought of this does not belong in my life.
No, with the thought that I'm not choosing to have it or include it in my life.
See, you know, and that's a part of the problem. People get to that conclusion and draw their own conclusion based on whether how hard it is, how many times they get denied, and then they move on as if, well, it wasn't for me. You know, I think that's a of the problem. I really do. I think it's a problem.
No, but that can't be a problem because I can choose what is for me and what is not for me, or if I don't want something, I have that option.
Yeah,
and
you know what?
You ladies bring up a very good point, and I want to touch on that. But we have Tanisha from Maryland on the line. Tanisha, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear.
Hi, Tanisha. What's your question or comment?
Oh, I was just telling earlier about the comment. I was listening to you all talk about, you know, and you use the example about going in there trying to get, you know, what if you go in there and walk in, you don't get the Maserati, and then I heard someone say, I don't know, I might have got online a little bit late, so, you know, don't buy me off if I misquote that. Maybe that was your credit. And, I was stating that God has something in store for all of us. And, yes, you know, I've experienced the denial myself, but you may walk in a dealership looking to get the Maserati, and you may not get it, but guess what? You might get something else. And he's, you know, setting you up to get familiar with that luxury car. And so the next time you go out, he's going to say, here, you've mastered over this. So what's next is this. Here's your Maserati. Here's what you're going to get next. And I think a lot of times we don't speak on that enough. We just say, God, I wanted this house. I really wanted that job, and I didn't get that. And then you get something else, and you don't, not necessarily we get content, but you're not appreciative of what you have in your moment right now because you keep on getting all these other denials, and you're not mastering or accepting where you are to get to the next level. I just wanted to kind of put that out there.
Thank you, Tanisha, for that. Thank you. And you know what? Like Heather, and that's the thing that I wanted to pull in with Heather and Patrice, Tanisha, is that it's about our mindset. I really think that this topic is all about mindset. And as we go into the other points for tonight, I really want everybody to take a look at the way you think. Whether you believe that it's God denying you, or your situation has denied you, or your
I think Joey just dropped out.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah. Whether you think God denied you, Patrice, or your situation has denied you.
Honestly,
I see
don't
what you're
believe.
Saying.
Go ahead.
No, you're trying to say that if somebody still desires something, then the denial is just their state of mind?
Yeah. It's always the mind first. In other words, Heather, if you want to do something and you desire it, let's just say you desire it, and it's whether it's not good for you, you've come to the conclusion it's not good for you, somebody done told you, and you don't, and you're denied it, and you still want it after the fact, there's still a desire there, and every desire is to be met, or mind is changed to not have that desire anymore. I don't want to get too much into that. But if you're still desiring it after denial, you ain't finished with it. You're not finished with it.
Yes, you are finished with it. We deny things all the time, although we desire them. That's just like somebody being on a diet.
there's a difference from settling without it and not want, and not and still wanting it after you're denied.
No, that's not true. Because that's not true. Because people who are crackheads, even once they go to rehab, there's several people who still say, "I wish I was still smoking crack," but I'm denying myself that because it doesn't benefit me.
Well, that has nothing. The mind is not completely made up.
The mind is completely made up.
There's
a man that I would have sex with every day if I could, and if I say no, I'm denying myself that. Just because I want it and I don't do it does not mean that my mind isn't made up. My mind is made up that it's good to me and I like it, but it's not good for me.
You have made the decision to settle with the fact that you will no longer give your body.
No, don't change the words. I'm denying myself that.
Made the decision. Was there not a decision made? Did you not make a decision?
What's your point?
If you had not made that decision, would you still be sleeping with them?
No, but my point is, what is your point?
My point is,
you
have the deciding factor whether you're going to settle with denial or not. That's my point.
No, that's not settling with denial. That's not settling. I mean, you're choosing to deny yourself of that. And when you say settling with denial, because the way you're putting it out there is that anybody who just settles with denial, I mean, you're choosing to do that, and that's belittling. No, that's a conscious, mature choice.
That's not what
I
said. I
didn't say what you said. No, I'm saying how it's coming across.
Well, I don't think, how do you know it's coming across that it's coming across to you like that? How do you know it's coming across?
No, it's not just coming across to me like that. It's not just coming across to me like that.
No, Psychic Heather, I forgot she was on the line.
No, I'm not a psychic. I'm somebody with some common sense, and I'm saying to you that it is sounding as if denial is something negative, and it's not.
Did I not say
it's
good
not.
Or bad denial? Did I not say good or bad desires or denial? We're talking about good and bad. What you actually, of course, we all actually have some desires that are bad, that we have declared that are bad, okay? And we have good ones as well. So that, I am not trying to say that it's a negative belittling type of thing at all. It's your decision is what I'm trying to say. If I decide not to have sex versus what I decide to have sex, that's my decision. That's like my decision. It ain't yours. It's mine. So what's right in my eyes is actually right in my eyes. That's why we can't get stunted in knowledge and wisdom, because the less you learn, the, you know, lack of decision making.
What are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about?
Okay, Joey, go ahead and take it back. I went to another level.
See, that's what I'm talking about, that right there.
And because that's what it is. Go ahead, Joey.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to move into the next point. But again, before I got cut off, like I said, I was just talking about tonight. I hope everybody walks away with this is all about mindset. It's what your mindset is. Whether you take away being denied as good or bad, or whether you walk away from a newfound way to be patient. I really want us to walk away with that. This statement, delayed but not denied, is all about mindset. Whether you're in a state of delay, being delayed, or whether it's denial, it's all about your mindset. So the next point is, why may it be important to delay getting into new relationships or getting married or having children or et cetera? Why do you guys feel that it may be important to kind of delay those things rather than kind of rush into it or or what have you? Why do you think it may be important to delay these things?
Well, I don't think that it's necessary to delay if two mature people are making a decision. But if they're other circumstances around it, then that's what's going to determine the necessity in delaying it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that, you know, when people have a made-up mind about something, they do it. And you don't necessarily, you know, when you see something you want in the store, you kind of just get it. And I realize that babies and relationships and things like that are life decisions that may be more weightier, but I think that it's not necessarily important to delay it. I think you have to make a decision to do it.
I think
and
that
once you're there, you're there.
You said
you better be glad I'm not on that switchboard. I can't hang your ass. Excuse me.
I mean, what's the pausing about? You want, yeah, okay. So I think that it's important to delay things like relationship and marriage. Number one, when you know yourself, when you come to the point in your life where you honestly know yourself. For instance, if you know you love your freedom, although you still desire marriage, but you know you love your freedom and you know that the behavior in your life has been hopping from this and doing this and wanting to do things, and honestly to really think about it, you can't do a whole lot of stuff when you're connected with someone, if they're not agreeing with it at all or whatever the situation is. I think it's important for that when you do come into the knowledge of who you are and what you like and what how you are, that you have a mood swing or, you know, just getting a little technical there. I think it's important to consider those things before marriage and relationship. You don't want to involve somebody in your life while you're in the process of developing yourself at a very crucial point, although development is forever, you know, but when you're at that point to where you can't kick your mood swings or you can't kick being mad, you just can't get over it and move on, then I think it's important to kind of delay and mature some more to a point to where, you know, you're able to not be so angry so quick or whatever. I think it's important to mature. You know, the reason being to delay is so that you can mature in what you want to do successfully. You don't want to jump into anything ignorant. And if you don't know what marriage is, you honestly shouldn't be married because it's just going to be jacked up in a whole bunch of crap. So I think that's an important reason to delay for maturity.
Okay. Deidre, any thoughts?
Well, I was thinking about what Patrice was saying, but sometimes we can be immature and get into a situation, and that situation was what was needed to mature us. Because if we're never experiencing certain things, we're not challenged to grow. So I don't know that if I was going to say that you need to be mature, because I was thinking about my previous marriage. I got married because I was on a timeline. Like I said earlier before, I'm very goal-oriented. I had a time when I wanted to be married. I had a time when I wanted to have my first degree, then my second degree, then when I was going to have this kid, when I was going to have that kid. It was on a timeline. And so while there were many things surrounding me that said, no, you shouldn't get married, that desire for me to, you know, make sure I have it at this age, make sure I have it at, you know, at that age and at this level, I have these things, I got married. And then when I got in it, it was like, I don't want this. No, this ain't working. And then I left. So, I don't know that if I was being mature about it going in. And then when I got in, I still wasn't being mature.
I think, that when I say mature, I mean, like, you know, the knowledge that you have now about marriage and the fact that maybe a timeline shouldn't be put that kind of knowledge on going into a thing like marriage to just completely be equipped to, you know, as far as marriage is concerned. That's what I mean by mature, not like I make level-headed decisions mature, but mature in that situation. Some of us are mature in a lot of situations, but not in a lot in other things. I'm ignorant in a lot of things that I have not involved myself in or experienced or whatever. That just means it's just lack of knowledge. But I am mature in a lot of other stuff that I have been educated in or knowledgeable in. You know, that's what I mean. I mean when I say mature.
You know, just hearing you ladies speak, it's just one of those things. For a long time before I matured or I gained knowledge, a lot of times I thought because I didn't have successful relationships with women that, you know, maybe that wasn't for me. So kind of that mindset that a relationship, a healthy relationship with a woman was denied to me because I didn't have a lot of success in it. And so it was just one of those things where it was like, okay, so should I just stop trying? Should I delay it? You know, whatever, whatever. You know, having the whole mindset like, oh, if you get out of one relationship, you need to delay or wait until you heal before you get into another relationship kind of thought. And then, you know, not being taught or not being shown was like the right way to do that, you know. So I'm thinking, yeah, you gotta delay even meeting new people for some years until you get over like this person, or you get over that relationship, or you recover from it. And so again, that's kind of what I was in this bullet point that we're talking now is like why besides the reason that, you know, like Patrice gave, like, you know, waiting to see whether or not you're mature enough. Like, what are some reasons that people could actually do that, could delay getting into new relationships or getting? And of course, we know you don't jump it from relationship to relationship, and you shouldn't just get married just to do it. And of course, having kids is just something that you shouldn't take lightly. But why? Or what would be healthy reasons or healthy ways to delay getting into these situations?
Well, for example, after experiencing what I had experiencing in the area of relationship, I stopped dating. And when I say dating, that doesn't mean going out and hanging out. It meant committing myself to a young man that has no purpose for me in the future just yet, which is completely fine. We call that friendship. We can hang out, go out, but being exclusive with you, I don't feel like that's fair because I'm not even at a point to where, I mean, of course I'm, you know, viewing you as a potential, but I don't think that it's fair to commit to a relationship, a romantic relationship, to kind of block yourself from others that could possibly be. You know, so I, you know, that's what, I mean, that's basically how I feel about that point.
Anybody else? Has any of the ladies ever felt like maybe because they didn't have successful relationships that maybe that a successful relationship was denied to you? Or you call us out there, you know, call in, let us know what you think about this whole point of, maybe because something hasn't been successful that you've been denied it. 760-683-2662. And I know Patrice talked about her career aspirations, and you know, I'm definitely one of the biggest things for me is definitely like the relationships, you know, that type of thing has been difficult. But call us. What do you think, listeners? What are some of your comments? Again, it's 760-683-2662. Ladies, what's
y'all thought on that? Well, I want to say this. I've had some, but when in talking about being delayed and denied and all this kind of stuff, I've had people to come up to me and say, well, you don't have what you want because you're not working hard enough. You know, it's how bad do you want it? What are you doing to get there? What do y'all think about that?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say really quickly, because I want to hear from the ladies, but I've been in that position, Deidre. Like, I want to be in a successful relationship with one woman and move towards marriage, but it seems like, you know, no matter how much I put into this thing, it's just not, it just hasn't been much success. And a lot of times it's not because of me. And I'm not saying that just because, you know, it's like, oh, it's everyone else's fault. It's not like a kind of denial kind of thing in my own head. Like, I know I have my issues, but I just feel like I'm a go-getter, but it's just like, dang, this just not clicking. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, you're saying that you wanted a successful relationship, but then how do you feel when somebody comes back to you and say, well, you're just not working hard enough. You don't want it bad enough. You don't want a successful relationship.
You know what? It's
funny.
Huh?
I said, you don't want a successful relationship because you're not doing all that you can do to get it.
And you know what? It's funny you say that because someone actually said that to me. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? And it's like, then I get this list of what you want me to do. And then in my head and my actions, I'm thinking I'm doing everything, and it's still not enough. So,
gave you a list of the things that they wanted you to do,
mm-hmm.
then do those things versus
and
what
that's
you
what
think
I'm saying. I'm thinking I'm going to do what I'm doing, what's on their list, and they're saying, no, that's still not what I want. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to help you. You know, I don't know what you want me to do because I'm doing everything that you put on this list. And even before that, you know, I was doing everything that I know to make a relationship work, and that's trust, understanding, communication, spending time, devotion, you know, commitment, whatever, whatever. And these are the things that I believe make a successful relationship, and it's just not going that way. So, like I said, you know, you say I was at the point where I'd be like, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. I need to be just a single man for the rest of my life. And then I realized that's not what I want for my life. And so I jumped back into the game, so to speak, because this is what I want. But it's just like, but dang, do I need to just put it on hold? And so that's kind of what, you know, that's kind of just the mindset I was at, just that maybe I need to delay wanting those things, wanting a successful relationship, and then maybe it will come to me. Then that didn't happen either.
Why did you call it a game, or was that just, did that just fly off of your tongue? You said getting back in the game. I'm trying to get to the point where I want to see how are you viewing. We know you desire a wife, but when you meet mm-hmm. a woman that's attracted to you, when you meet a woman that you're attracted to and she is attracted to you, that you know, that's been declared, you've exchanged numbers and you start talking on the phone, do you literally, like, immediately go into a whole, let's see if we're compatible kind of thing for marriage? Like, do you do that at the first phase of meeting her?
You know what? Oh, go ahead. Somehow. Oh, I thought somebody was saying something still. Therese, the honest part, and I'm laughing at Jeff because he's funny, but he's right at the same time. But I think the thing for me is I called it a game first because essentially it is a game in the beginning until you mature beyond games, which I believe I have. But it is a game. Somebody, they want to see your best. They don't want to see your worst. They want to see your best. They want to see if you're a smooth talker, if you can be mysterious, if you can be this, you know, professional kind person out in the street and then give them hood sex, you know, at the end of the day. That's the kind of game that you're in. Are we compatible? Does this match? Do you reach the list that I have? Do you have everything on my prayer list that I put in my closet and I'm on my knees and I'm praying for it and I need to make sure that everything on this list checks off with you? So essentially it is a game, but I stopped playing those games. Like, I, especially in my quest to believe that I'm not being denied, that it may be a delay or it may be I'm in a waiting period or whatever you want to call it, transition period, whatever, I stop believing that I have to play this game. And so I am more upfront and honest about who I am. So I'm not hiding that anymore. Like, I'm not giving you just the best. I'm showing you everything. Do I, in the past, yes, Patrice, I have done that whole, okay, now I need to see if we're compatible for marriage. But I don't do that anymore. I still have what I believe is called the unanswered truth or for men. Some men don't even know the things that they're looking for, but when that feeling or that thought or those questions that subconsciously that they ask about this woman, when those things are answered, they are able to say, okay, I can't let this woman go. I don't want anyone else to have her, and not in an obsessive or possessive way, but in a way that I realize that this woman helps me, and this is who I want, and I want to marry her, or I want to commit to her. Then that's when you make the decision that she's going to be your wife. And that's kind of the, huh?
I can relate to you just recently. I wouldn't have been able to relate last week, but just to give you a quick example, I was talking to a guy on the phone, and he was new to a friendship. You know, we had just met. So we were talking on the phone, and I noticed that he sounded a little nervous. And he was running down what he does for a living, and this is what he do. And, of course, our personality is quick. That's why I'm talking on the phone with him for so long. And the intent was to create something romantic. That was already determined. Okay, so while we're talking, he's, like, sounding nervous. So all of a sudden I go, why, you know, do you feel like you're being interviewed? And he said, yes. And I said, why do you feel like that? And he said, well, I feel like in the beginning, this is how it is. This is what you do.
Right.
And he, you know, and I honestly did not, although I liked him and had those feelings, I didn't feel like I was being interrogated or interviewed. And he said, don't you feel like you're being, I said, you know what? No, I understand what you're saying, but no, I don't. I think it's because I'm thinking of this differently. I'm not looking at this as long-term. And I don't, you know, and this is just me. I'm not trying to say across the board this is what everybody should do. But I initially have learned not to look at it as, okay, this is going to be da-da-da. I have the desire of it, but if it's not him, I have the desire of it. So going into a friendship with him with a romantic intent or hope, I am literally going, I'm so not looking for you necessarily to be a long-term. Let's just have fun. Let's explore each other, and let's enjoy each other. And I think that's what eased me from the whole interview game thing. But he honestly was there. He was like, this is a game. Like, this is what happens. And so I can relate to what you just said when you said that, you know, initially it do feel like a game, you know, because that's the way people are thinking about it. I have to put my cards on the table. I got to sell myself. I got to tell her all my views and all this. And then she does the same. And then we see if we're compatible and say yes or no. And I just don't think that it should be that orderly. I don't think it should be looked at or thought about in that way. Although, you know, of course, reality speaking, you know, it is that way. You know, but I honestly think that if we change the way we think about entering a new relationship, it'll change the way we deal with it or process what goes on after the initial meet.
Hmm.
You
anybody else? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you meeting an attractive woman, Joey, you know, obviously you are thinking of marriage. That is
right.
Your goal. That is, you know what I'm saying, that's what you see. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is just what you see. It's just that when you have that in your mind and in front of you and your goal, and when you're talking to her, that's going to show. That's going to
right.
be evident. you know.
Oh, no,
go ahead.
Oh, no, and I'm saying definitely now that I have this mindset that I'm not hiding who I am, like, that's definitely a question before we start a friendship or dating or whatever you want to call it. I don't even put a label to it anymore. But when we start this, I'm letting you know, look, I want to be married. So if that's not the direction that you want to go, let's not even get anything started. I'm not saying that I want to be married the next day if we click, but I'm just letting you know that this is my desire, and I just don't have any time to waste because I can't get time back.
Right.
And that was after I stopped thinking that because I've had unsuccessful relationships that I was supposed to remain single. And I've been told that a few times, and I laugh at people now. I didn't laugh before until I changed my mindset that a delay because I didn't reach, like Deidre was talking about, the timeline that I had set, you know, that it's a denial. And I'm free from that because, you know, you don't want to. It's just not for me. It's just not good to believe that because something isn't successful, because you haven't reached the goal that you want, that you've been denied it.
Right. Right. I agree.
Who had a race car drive? All right, so the next point is, bullet point, yeah. What is the hardest part about waiting on something you want, Heather? What is the hardest part about waiting on something you want?
The hardest part about waiting?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is managing your expectations and your feelings during that time of waiting. But I would encourage people to wait with the right attitude and with the right expectancy. As long as they know that they're waiting for something that is going to come to fruition and not necessarily expecting something that's never going to happen. Because I believe that denial is a real thing, and it's not about you thinking something is coming to pass or you thinking something is just going to happen because you're thinking it and believing it. I think there are things that applies to, and I think there are things that doesn't apply to. And it can't just be a matter of a person thinking something that is not purposeful or beneficial to them. Because suppose, you know, I mean, just anything can happen that everything changes.
Mm.
And if it doesn't happen for that person, what do we tell them then? Oh, you didn't think it? That doesn't
and
work.
So you believe that, I'm going to hold that question because we have a caller. Lord, help me. Akeisha, are you on the line?
I am.
Did I say your name right?
Yes. My
name is Keisha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's your question or comment?
Well, I guess it would be more of a comment than a question. And I just wanted to piggyback a little bit to Heather. I think part of the issue with waiting is sometimes you kind of feel like you have been forgotten. And nobody likes to wait for anything. Just the time that we live in, nobody wants to wait in line for the bank. Nobody wants to wait in line in the store. So you have to really be real and really recognize that nobody really wants to wait for a mate either. It looks, everything we see on TV, it looks like it's so easy, it's so uncomplicated, but it's not. And also I just wanted to add too, and you were saying about when you go out on your first date, and you're very clear about what your expectations are, And I just think that is an awesome place to be in, because I think that we waste a lot of time and we pretty much delay the inevitable by not putting our non-negotiables out there first and foremost. I mean, why do we need to go on 10 dates if I'm marriage-minded and all you're looking for is a booty call? Or you never want to get married, or you never want to have kids. So I just think that that is a very healthy place to be in. And I look back on my own personal life, and I wish that in a lot of past failed relationships that I had been in, that I had known what I know now, so that a lot of the things that I've been through, I would have never gone through, because I could have just been honest to say, you know, I'm going south and you're going north, and we're going into two different directions, so let's not waste each other's time. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Akeisha, for your comment. And again, if you guys want to give your questions or comments, please call in at 760-683-2662. The number is 760-683-2662. We definitely want to hear from you. And Heather, just back to the question that I wanted to give to you, so just so I can understand, is that you believe that for what you're saying is that there are times when you are denied, no matter how strong your thinking is, there are just some things that will be or that have been denied to you.
Yes. And there are some things that you may deny for yourself. And
okay.
I'm saying that there's not a problem with that, and you haven't shortchanged yourself and denying yourself of those things. And I guess my concern is that when we talk about delay versus
mm-hmm.
denial, or are we saying every delay does not necessarily mean a denial? No, every delay in what you want or what you need does not mean a denial, but denial is something that is very real and can be beneficial,
yes,
and can work in your favor. And
mm.
so I don't think we need to shortchange denial and say, oh, well, there's good this, good that. I mean, hell, there's good crack and bad crack. If you get a bad batch, it's the end of the road. So I just don't think that we should shortchange it, and we need to be clear about what we're saying. And it's just not, no, oh, you just think it and believe it, and it's getting ready to happen for you. No, you have to think it. You're going to have to put some work in on it. You're going to have to prepare. You're going to have to plan. And you have to be in the right posture. And maybe, just maybe, there's somebody out there
mm-hmm.
who has determined, you know what, I'm denying myself a mate because of A, B, and C. And there are those who deny themselves a mate for lifetime, say, you know what, I'm never going to be in a relationship.
Right. I think for me... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, and I was going to say. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay, I was just going to say that I think what you're saying is very true, that there is as far as if you believe in that every delay is a denial, and that's what I was. That because I was delayed these things, that is denied to me and that I shouldn't pursue them. So you're absolutely right in that part that, yeah, you can't think that every delay is a denial and that every denial wasn't for your good. So, yes, I totally agree. And I kind of think for me that's where I was trying to lead the discussion, is to get people to change their mindset that every delay is not a denial. But I also believe that every denial that you get is a finality in a sense. I kind of just don't want to feel, you know, and I'm not saying that's not true, because you're right, denial is reality. But I kind of also don't want to think that it's final, you know, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely makes sense to me, but I think, I guess where I was coming from with it is that I want to be very clear that, first of all, a person needs to know, you know, we can't just, I just don't want to jump to waiting Because right. I've been there. I've been the girl waiting on that guy to get himself together. And so
right.
to just say, how should you wait? No, maybe you should not be waiting. And so just because you're desiring something and you want it does not mean it's yours or it's for you to have. And I don't care what you think and what you do. I don't care what kind of dress you put on and what perfume and how many times you do this or that. It's just not for you. It's not for you to have. Now, there very well may be something else for you to have. But that's not for you to have. And so, I mean, I'll give you a prime example. I always strive to work very hard to do my best and to be a good employee. So if my manager ever came in and said, you know, you don't get here quite at the time at 7 a.m., you kind of came in at 7:04, you came in at 7:01 on Tuesday, and you came in at 7:15 on Wednesday, I'm not arguing with her because you know what time is my start time? 7 a.m. So if she says 7:01, I don't have a problem. But I was with an organization that was a Native American association. Part of me did not feel denied negatively at the fact that no matter how hard I worked and no matter how many times they gave me raises or changed my title, I was never going to be the executive director there. I didn't have to feel denied negatively. I could accept that denial because the fact of the matter is I'm not Native American, no more than I would want George Bush or any other person of any other ethnicity running the NAACP. So, no, I may be denied that executive director position, but that does not mean that I'm denied in my career overall and I can't advance and I can't run a company. Being denied does not take away who I am and what I'm capable of. It means I can't do it here. I can't do it right now. And so that's what I'm saying is I want people to know that you're just not going to sit up and think up on something, and mysteriously, you just believe and wait, it's going to just come.
I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow, but it's just one of those things where you really do have to kind of, and I'm not saying I have to will myself into to get past this denial, but kind of just think about why was this denied to me, or like you said, maybe a promotion at this job was denied to me, but it won't be denied to me at another job, in a sense.
Right.
And again, it's about how we, maybe not thinking like we want to will ourselves past, but not taking everything as it's negative and you want to give up like I was doing. Like I just was like, maybe it's just meant for me to be single or what have you, because I haven't had a successful, you know, just haven't had what I would view as a successful relationship. But once I changed my mindset and I said, well, maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's not successful here, but it won't be successful somewhere else. Is that's just how you change your mindset, I guess. But
okay,
please,
so Joey, tell
that,
me something. Can you tell me something, Joey? Why
say that
would
again?
I want you to answer a question for me. Why would you feel it necessary to change your mindset about whether or not you're going to be married because you haven't had a successful relationship, but not consider changing your behavior in relationships, and possibly that's the reason why they haven't been successful? Or do you feel like you've done everything that you're supposed to do in the relationship and it still wasn't successful?
That is a really good question. And you know what? I do believe that with changing my mindset, because after every relationship, I realized that I did walk away learning something new about me. And learning that there are some things, one, just when I first started even getting into dating scene in the beginning, like I had to change that you can't do everything cookie cutter. So I had to change. So what works for one woman is not going to work for the next. So that was one thing where my behaviors changed, you know. But I think essentially being the person that I am, And the values that I hold is that I always start off with the principles of communication, trust, commitment. You know, I think those things are the foundation of a relationship, and that's how I initially go into the, if I'm serious about this person, that's what I go into. And my behaviors, yeah, you learn, okay, every battle ain't worth fighting. You know, I thought that's what you're supposed to do, but every battle's not worth fighting. You have to learn how to compromise and negotiate. At first, I couldn't do that. That wasn't a thing for me, but I had to learn. So, yeah, my behaviors definitely change, but my mindset about what's important to a relationship hasn't changed. And those principles are, you know, the things that haven't changed or the behaviors or the actions that I won't change is that you have to have communication, you have to be honest, and you have to, you know, there has to be trust in order for you to even have a start of a relationship or a piece of a relationship. I think, I honestly do believe, Heather, that it's the women that I have been in relationship with that it's, I'm not the man for them. And for whatever reason, you know, they don't discover that until we get to a point where I want to move forward and they don't. And then I say, well, this isn't, you know, then we no longer need to be together because I want progress and you don't.
Okay.
Am I at the racetrack?
Yes, Joey, I'm at the racetrack. If you ask it one more time, I'm going to scream.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just playing, but I guess somebody because I just keep hearing some go, vroom. Anyway, Therese, I saw that in the chat room. I saw that there was a point that you didn't agree with. You want to kind of talk about that?
I don't agree with half of what Heather said. I honestly believe that you have what you believe. Whatever you set your mind to honestly believe, that is what you have. And I don't know what foundation, you know, everybody else is working off of, but when your thinking change, you get changed results. When you do something different, you get different results. And work does not give you a deserving factor, how much work you've put into anything. You can work all the time. Perfect example, John, what is that Singleton guy who did the movie Poetic Justice? I think that's his name. But anyway, there was an interview on television, and it was a Caucasian feller. He had graduated from film school. He's done many documentaries. And he was on television saying, what pisses me off, and, you know, I'm speaking real, is the fact that I went to school, done all these documentaries, I mean prestigious documentaries, and really, really have all the credentials that I'm supposed to have to be an awesome filmmaker, successful. And here comes John Singleton, who literally took some community college classes, went to some seminars, and pushed out a movie that was huge and was a hit at the box office. He said, all that work that I did, I honestly thought that the more work I put into it, the more deserving I was of that space. And here come this dude, have not went to school for it, have not done one documentary, but this is his first movie? And he succeeded at this level. He said, that right there taught me that it's not so much as your credentials or the work that you have put into it, but it is what you decide to do. It is where you put your mind, and it is what you decide to do. And I guess I can honestly...
But I think that's a point about, I think that's a point about credentials and not a point about work, because John Singleton definitely put in work.
Well,
he put in work. That movie
work,
didn't just get picked up on its own. He had to do something. He didn't...
And a lot of people will say that about Barack Obama, where when you talked about how you can't be no overseer of an Indian foundation if you're not an Indian, so I can settle with that I'll never be that. We said that about a black president. You know, we said that about a lot of things that we never thought.
No,
that
we didn't say that. Somebody else said that.
Whatever.
We didn't say that.
Was a well, across the board, it was a well, I can honestly say that a lot of people never thought they would see the day that we would have a black president in the United States, in the white United States. Let me just put it like that. I mean, let's not get petty. It's really, really openly
no,
clear.
No, it's not petty because Barack Obama didn't take himself into the White House.
It's very, very, we can honestly say the majority of people never thought that white America would put a black president in the White House. Okay?
If what you're saying is half of America didn't think that there would ever be a black president, then why did it happen? Because if thinking is all it takes, then it shouldn't have happened. Because you said most people thought it wouldn't. And what I'm saying is that Barack Obama didn't get in there off of a thought. He believed that he could, and he worked and lived a life and prepared and planned.
Okay, in order for you to believe anything, your mind has to be there. I don't know what crap you talking about, but in order to come to a belief, your mind has to change. So, yes, it did start with him. He is the reason why he is the president of the United States. He decided to run. He decided to position himself to run.
Okay.
You have what you believe. And there's no way I will go back to the old thinking of, well, it's just not yours. Well, the Lord ain't just wants you to have it.
I didn't say that. That's not what I said. I never said that. I didn't say that you didn't have to believe or that you didn't have to think. But there are other things that you have to do. I'm simply saying that thinking and believing,
I said work ain't one of them. Effort is one
you
of them.
You do got to work. Okay. Well, you think and believe. Well, since you're in the thinking and believing business and you don't have to work for it, I'm going to tell my job I'm going to stay home and I'm going to rely on you to think and believe money cometh to you that you can take care of both of us.
That's not an effort.
And
you're not making
work.
There's a difference between effort and work. When you make an effort, that means you put your foot on it like you're getting ready to do it as if it's mine, it's done. You can't just sit at home in the bed eating bonbons and expect miracles to take place that you're trying to.
Yes, no. Okay, so now you want to split verbs and adjectives about work and effort.
But as far as sweating for something, that's just like working for a blessing. I got to do this, pay my tithes, fast for 40 days, and raise the dead in order for Jesus to give me the ministry I want. No, that is not what it is. It has nothing to do with what you do. You don't earn a blessing. You don't earn what you're supposed to have. You don't even deserve what you're supposed to have. So that cancels out work. Because you can work all your life and not get what you think you deserve to have. It has nothing to do with work. It has everything
to
do with.
What does it have to do with? You just have to think it and believe it.
There you go. You have what you believe. Read your Bible.
Okay. Did she tell me to read the Bible?
I felt like my granddad.
I'll take that
point back. I did feel like my grandfather.
No, you say exactly what your little churchy self wanted to say, and y'all run on believing and thinking, and I'll be waiting to see the things that you believe and thought of come to pass. In the meantime.
I told you I was going to strike the movement, but if you ain't going to receive the strike, then let the strike be the strike. Read your Bible.
Whatever. You meant what you said. I ain't got to read my Bible because I already know.
I mean, a lot.
Go
ahead, Joey. Go on to the next point before I...
Before you what? Sound more crazier heresy?
I got my point across. I got my point across. You got yours across.
Yes, and I'll be praying for the people who are led astray.
And I'll be praying for the people with that old thinking that you got.
That's okay. I don't have no old thinking. This is a new mind.
Yes, you do.
You read that in your Bible, didn't you?
Okay, well, if you got a new mind, guess what? That means you think it before it happens. It has to enter that control panel or room before anything else can manifest. It has to. What's that boy's name? He a rapper. It's getting hot in here, so let me take off all my clothes, whatever. He was in an interview, and they asked him, they said, how did you get to where you are? Like, how did you make all these hits? How did you blah, blah, blah? He said, because I thought about it, and I said, hey, God is a creator, and he created me, so therefore I'm a creator. So I just created. I had to put my mind in a place of creation, and then I created. So, you know, people of all walks of life tap into that and get what they want, good or bad. It is not restrained from anybody. Anybody. Shoot, you sitting there one. Well, go ahead, Joey. I'm sorry.
Nah, ladies, you fine. Y'all keeping it going. Y'all keeping it spicy. I'm enjoying this because I thought this was. It is one of those praises. The topic tonight, delayed but not denied, one that, you know, that a lot of people might really have some questions on, might have some struggles with believing, you know, they might find it hard to believe that because they've been delayed, or this thing hasn't come to them in the time frame that they wanted, that they've been denied. And like I said, I have been there. I've definitely been there. And whether it's through faith or it's through works, or it's through faith and works.
Joey, don't even go into that foolishness. Please don't you. I know you got that in mind.
You know, it's whether you from the Paul school of thinking or you from the James school of thinking, you have to, I'm being facetious right now, but you have to, I really do think that you have to be able to say, you know, one, you have to make your own choices, and two, you have to be able to not take everything, not catastrophize or believe that everything is an absolute ending for you, or that because I don't have what I thought I wanted that would make my life better, that it's the end of the world for me. And that's kind of just the point that I wanted to. Yes, ma'am.
We have a call. I think Jeff said Robrette's on the line.
Oh, Jean, give me.
Hey.
I see it in the. Hey. What's the name again, Heather?
Robrette.
Okay, well, welcome. Robrette?
I think it dropped off.
Oh.
Hopefully she'll call back in.
Yes, please call us back, please. 760. The number is 760. Excuse me, 683-2662, 760-683-2662. You want to leave a comment or anything like that, please press 1. But again, like I was saying, we have to be able to say that it's not. It's just not a good idea to think that it's an ending to everything because we don't have what we essentially wanted. Or that
I think that you're absolutely right in where you're going with saying that because you don't have something or because you have not obtained something does not mean you've been denied it.
Right.
And I think that people should never give up on a dream or if they have an aspiration to do something. But in that process, there are things that they must do. And I'm not talking about it being a deserving factor, but there is a determining factor in what you do. I'm not just going to think that dirty clothes are going to pick themselves up off the floor, go downstairs and put themselves in the washer because I want them to be clean. But I can think, you know what, I need to do laundry, and so here's the steps that I'm going to take. It does nothing just happens because, oh, you thought it and you don't have to take any steps. There's a process. There is a work to do. There is something to do in it, but we have our caller on the line, I believe.
Hi, I'm back. This is Robrett, and I'm glad to be able to tune in tonight. This is the first time I've been able to tune in, and this very interesting conversation, and I just wanted to touch on, and I know that it was just hotly debated, that's why I called in, with the even with the point that Heather just brought up. And I am self-employed, and this, my business partner was actually on earlier, and we were in a place where we had a dream, and it was something that we wanted to do, and it's something that we believed that we could do, but we couldn't rightfully sit at home in our two separate places and do no work to get to the, to have a successful business that we have now. And, you know, I come from a school of thought that's maybe a lot different from a lot of other people's, because I believe that that you really can, in essence, do whatever you really want to do. And I know a lot of people get into will and this and some other things in terms of what God has for us and all that kind of stuff. But I believe, I just in my heart of hearts, that I don't know anyone who has put in 100% of everything that they are and have received absolutely nothing from it, or have not in some way received what it is they were working towards. I think that sometimes we take our 85% as 100% because we're tired, or we may take our 70% that we give and somehow in our mind make it 100%, and it really isn't, because there's always that one other little thing that you could have, that you could have done that you didn't do, either out of laziness or out of just being fatigued. Because I know I even deal with that right now, you know, with things that I'm working on. But I believe that there is a work that has to be done. And I believe in the favor of God. I believe that he goes before us. But I think that, you know, at the same time, too, you can stand there behind the plow. And if there ain't no horse in front of the plow and you ain't pushing the plow is going to be sitting there. And your neighbor next to you is going to be plowing his field and is going to be getting the money that you should have gotten if you didn't, if you had just put your work to the blessing or the favor that was already, like, there in front of you with your plow. Now, that's just my two cents on that. And I know that things can be a lot different when it comes to relationships and meeting people and dating and marriage when it comes to the denial and the delay. But I think a lot, oftentimes, we don't realize what we are giving off. Because we, in many ways, we may see in our heads, or we may think that we're ready and we're prepared. And if you've gone on a series of dates and it hasn't been, you've had a problem with the person, the person's had a problem with you, then sometimes, and a lot of people internalize, but to me, I think it's, you take those things just to make yourself better. And to make to work on internal things that may be like a little black cloud that's floating around you. You're like, oh, I look good. I got this. I got that. When you all were talking about going down the list of things that you all did have, or you feeling as though you were like on an interview, but when you're looking for a relationship, or you're dating, or you're going out with someone, I mean, I know with me, I don't necessarily date for friends. That's because I have plenty of friends. But I know with me, I date because I'm looking for mate. So I know when I'm sitting down with somebody, I know whether or not I'm going to go out on a second date with you. Because if we weren't compatible on day one, ain't no need of me wasting, you know, date two and three and four and five. Because there are some other, you know, few other things that I could be doing. But not to continue to ramble on, but I believe that we do have to continue to work in ourselves, to work on ourselves. And I believe that, you know, in time, with our effort, with our work, that, you know, those things do come to pass. It may be when you're 50, but, you know, I think that those things will come to you when you, you know, focus in on it and you do work on it and just make it a part of your process, of your journey to get into to where you need to be, your wholeness. So that's just my two cents.
Thank you, Brett, for your comments, and please tune in again to Amongst Friends. We love the calls and the comments, and we definitely love the listeners.
Hey, Joey, I was reading in the chat room, and me and Heather are going back and forth, but I did want to make it very clear that when I say that it does, you're not supposed to work to get what you, you know, what you believe, that whatever blessing that you are believing for or whatever. Okay, I'm not talking about physical work when I say you're not supposed to. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm talking about physical work when I'm saying that you're not supposed to work. Now, I know that that is a bold statement, but it is the truth, and I'm going to tell you why. When me and Heather was going back and forth about when I said having faith, it was not talking about physical work. You know, the scripture where it says have faith and then show your, you know, and then work or whatever. What it meant was once you make up your mind that this is what you want, once you believe it, you now have to act like or start living like it is. That is the work. It is not a physical sweating by the brow work that scripture is talking about. That is not the works that it is talking about. Okay? It's
right.
Talking about the effort, the putting your foot on it as if it is. So Heather just said, if I'm kicking my, she said, I'm thinking something, but it's not happening. I'm even poking my foot out in the effort and still nothing. I am not saying that you will things into existence. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that once you make up your mind to believe it to be, you now become that. In other words, if you're going to the gym, you're going to put on the outfit to go to the gym. You're not going to put the outfit on after you've gotten to the gym or riding past the gym, not even going to the gym. You're going to act as if you are literally preparing, you're there. If I want to be a superstar and glamorous chick and I want everybody to see, I'm not going to look dusty until the day comes. Oh, Trish, you got a record deal. Now you can look glamorous like you always. No, I'm going to get myself in position now as if it is. That is the work that I am talking about. Okay, so when I say you're not supposed to be working hard and sweating and physical work, that's the truth. You're not. It's supposed to be effortless. Hello? Once you have made up your mind.
No.
Yes. It's supposed to be effortless. Because you know why? What it is what you're still saying is what you're saying is true. That means I still have to work for what I'm trying to get. And that is not what it is. That means I have to work harder than you to get what I believe I should have. And that is not what it is, because I could work harder than you and you still get the position.
What you're saying is absolutely you have to be in the position, but if you're going to the gym, you just said you had to put on the clothes to go to the gym. That is physical. The clothes don't just appear on your body.
You
have to do something. And all I'm saying is that if you believe something, you have to do something to get it. And anybody who believes I want a business and you're given a business, I want my business to be successful, there are certain things that you're going to have to do for it to be successful.
But it is not the physical work that people are
yes,
thinking.
Yes, it is. You're going to have to be
first.
There on time. That means physically getting there. That means having supplying what is needed. It's not just going to happen. And if you think so, then tell me, then give me 10 things that you just thought of.
Okay, before
and then do anything physical, and they happen and were successful and vibrant. 10 things.
Okay,
that you didn't do nothing but just thought about it.
You want to open a business. Before you open your office and have to be there on time every day, unlock the door, let people in, that physical work, guess what you have to do before that? You have to position yourself as if you are already the CEO and you're still sitting on your bed with your laptop on your lap. You still have to be that business. Manifestation does not come unless your mind is already there. Once you have made it up in your mind, I am the CEO of this company and this is the business I want, your mind literally tells the rest of you what to do. That is when it becomes physical. That is when your manifestation shows up. But it will not show up. You can't bypass a made up mind. You can't open no business. This ain't going to work.
I didn't say you didn't need a made up mind. I'm just saying you can't have a made up mind and not know work.
Heather, okay, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. And I think
you need to change the way you say it.
I don't know how to explain
I'm with you,
Gadget.
For somebody who called somebody church, and we didn't have more references to the Bible than Jesus tonight than any other time in my life.
Well, the truth is the truth. And if you want to make the truth something
No,
else,
don't say the truth. You
go ahead
the truth
and do that.
The truth. But what is true? The truth is the truth. But what is true?
Bottom line is truth is truth. Truth rings louder.
Yeah.
But
what's true? But what's true?
You have what you believe. You have what you believe. You have what you believe. You are sitting and living in a place where you are because you have believed it to be. That's why you're there. If you do something different, you get something different.
Do something. Work, nigga. Do something. You said it. Do something.
Something
that's my whole point.
Leave it.
Do something. Do something.
No. That is not a point. Do something means believe it. That is my do something. Can I
say
how many times can I say that? That is my do something. So you
that's how you want to make. I'm just telling you. Okay, well then just tell us where to go, and we'll drink the juice, Jim Jones, because it's a lie.
You keep connecting do something with physical, but I'm trying to help you separate that. Don't help me.
Hey,
listen, ladies.
If I'm drowning, let me drown.
Ladies, I'm loving the conversation. Please believe me, I'm loving it, but I hate to end it. But we have to end in the 2 minutes that we're coming up towards the end of the show. Again, I want to thank everyone for listening. I love my co-host. I love their knowledge. I love how exuberant they are in their beliefs and opinions. I love a good debate. I love a good, healthy conversation, and that's what we had tonight. We hope that whatever you take from it, whether you take that you got to work or you take that you have to think and therefore it shall be, whatever you take from it, I'm hoping that you guys enjoyed the show and that you will call back. Next week's topic is destiny and the roadmap to it. What is your destiny? I believe I got that right. Please tune in next week, people, for the Grown and Sexy conversation called Amongst Friends. And please believe that despite the debates, we are friends, and we are just very passionate, grown and sexy people having a conversation and bringing it to the people out there that listen. Again, our number is 760-683-2662. And if you feel like you missed something and you want to go back and take that note, or you want to make sure that you are reading your Bibles, please join us at www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends and listen to the shows you missed on demand. We thank you again. We love you guys for listening, and we hope that you have gained some knowledge or that you just enjoy a beautiful, wonderful, sexy conversation. I'm Joe Snyder, and we are out, or almost out. Join us next week, 8 p.m., Amongst Friends.
You know I'm getting ready to light up after the show.
Why you gonna lie?
Because that's foolishness.
You better go read your Bible.
Listen, right, right. The Bible that Paul, John, and Peter didn't have. I'm gonna read that.
Hey, Keith, I thought I was down when you said that.
I did too.
And Paul, she's always calling you churchy and the church one, and she reads the Bible, and the scripture, this is what the scripture interpreted as. Are you kidding me?